Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland,
New York,
New Jersey,
Indianapolis,
California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa,
Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Bay Lake Town,
Old Key West,
Riviera,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Copper Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And
you're listening to my
Hello and welcome to episode 9 of the DVC Newscast. I am Shannon and joining me today we got Pete.
How's it going, Shannon?
Good, I'm back. I listened to your episode and you guys did a great job.
Thanks. Well, Chad knows what he's doing, so it was good.
You were joined by our fearless leader. I know he doesn't like to be called the leader, but he is our leader. I couldn't get it together. We couldn't coordinate before I left for my little getaway, but you guys did a great job and I actually listened, caught up all on my news, and now we're recording today. So before we get started, let's go ahead and talk about one of our sponsors. And today's episode is sponsored by DVC Rental Store. If you are in the market and want to go to Walt Disney World, definitely take a look at their deals. They have so many confirmed reservations right now, some of them as low as $10 a point. Amazing reservations, some that have been sold out for months. So definitely take a look at our friends at the DVC Rental Store. I even take a look because I'm only 3.5 hours away. I can always pop over there if the right deal pops up. Definitely take a look at our friends at the DVC Rental Store. Have you looked at some of their confirmed reservations?
I do look at their site occasionally. It's hard for us to be spontaneous from 1,500 miles away, but it's neat to see what's available because right now there's a lot of availability. It's a good time if you're in the vicinity and able to do something on fairly short notice. It's a great time to rent.
There have been some that have been very tempting to us. I don't know, maybe we'll squeeze in another trip if the right deal comes about. But again, take a look at DVC Rental Store and see if there's something that fits for your family. And with that, we will get straight into the news. So because we don't have a lot of news, but there's one topic that has a lot of content. So we're going to go through that right now. And that is that from November 6th to December 30th, Disney World Resort holidays are starting. So now it's a modified holiday season at Walt Disney World, but we have a lot to go over. First, guests will be able to enjoy festive decor, themed merchandise, seasonal food and beverage offerings, and entertainment all across Walt Disney World Resort. Holiday magic will be in full force at the 4 theme parks and Disney Springs, and Santa Claus will make time for special pop-up appearances at each location, waving and exclaiming holiday wishes to all. Guests will be delighted by the sight of festive flotillas at Disney's Animal Kingdom, holiday promenades at Epcot, and merry motorcades at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Character cavalcades at Magic Kingdom will take on a special twist with Christmas friends on festive floats in their holiday finest. When night falls, special projection effects will give a festive look to Cinderella Castle this year, providing a colorful backdrop for our guest photos. The appearance of the iconic castle will be transformed with a rotating series of designs, including a whimsical Christmas sweater and a regal overlay of red, green, and gold ornamentation. This will be in place of the castle dreamlights. Other holiday experiences that draw big crowds will be on hiatus this year as well, such as Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party and the Candlelight Processional at Epcot. So I love how they say they're on hiatus. They aren't canceled. Yeah. They're just on hiatus.
They're sleep for the year.
Exactly. I am sad. I think this was something we were all expecting. I am sad. It is our tradition. Our son's very first trip to Magic Kingdom was at the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. So it's a tradition since my son turned one to go to the party. And this will be the first year we don't. And we always end our trip with that party. So I'm sad, but again, not surprised. What do you think?
I think the way they're doing this, the same thing with the Halloween. I think it's kind of neat that they're saying, hey, we can't do these events because we don't want the crowds for the parades. We don't want the crowds for the fireworks. And without those, how are you really going to do it? But we're going to bring some of those moments into the regular hours. And they mentioned, I know, for Magic Kingdom that they're going to have the gingerbread characters out. They're going to have the reindeer, and they're not going to be a parade per se, but they're going to still have some of those iconic Christmas items that Disney is known for in the park during the regular times. And so I think that's kind of neat. It's a little disappointing they're not doing the Castle Dreamlights, but again, not really a surprise with the parks closing so early, because it's really not going to be that long that you're going to be able to see that. But they are doing a few things, I know. They're going to have the Yuletide-themed dining at Hollywood and Vine at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Disney Springs is still doing the Christmas trees. They're not going to have the Christmas tree trail, but it's going to be spread throughout downtown Disney or Disney Springs. They're going to still have the trees. The resorts are still going to be decked out for the holidays, but I guess they're not going to do the gingerbread displays.
There's no gingerbread displays. The resorts will still be decorated. I personally like that the tree trail will not be there, that the trees will be spread out. The tree trail did get very claustrophobic a little bit. So I don't think I'm, and it was so far off in the corner, you had to make a trip out there. So I like that it's going to be throughout Disney Springs, but I don't know. Again, I'm disappointed. I was sad. I'm curious to see how these offerings are going to be received. And we're going to talk a little bit about the hours in a second. And I think that's really what the key with the hours, with the castle lights not being there. I'm not that upset about them. I think the projections are beautiful. And I understand that's a lot of work, a lot of manpower to put those lights up for the hour that it's going to be dark with the park opening.
Yeah, really. It's going to be very short. And they are still doing in Epcot, even though they're not doing Candlelight Processional. And again, that makes a lot of sense, not even for the audience, but to have all those people on stage, I know, singing, projecting your voice, that's an even more potentially hazardous situation with COVID. So it makes a lot of sense that they're not doing that. But they are still going to have the International Festival of the Holidays going on around Epcot. And they've also announced that they're going to have the Voices of Liberty performing there at the Garden Theater. So
I know. I'm so excited they're returning.
I know. It'll be great to have them back. They're so wonderful.
And I think with the Candlelight Processional, one of the things I haven't really heard discussed is I'm sure it was going to be very hard to get celebrities to travel, because most are in California, to travel to Walt Disney World. That's a lot of people, and you just can't socially distance a choir like that.
No, not a choir that big, yeah.
I never expected the processional to take place this year. I thought maybe with the party they could have done it, because the cookies are packaged already. The hot chocolate is passed out. So I thought hopefully maybe they could still do it and do a modified party.
The thing with the parties, though, is a big part of those are the stage show, the castle lighting, the fireworks, the parade. And Disney doesn't want to do those things. They know that people are going to gather in a large group for that type of thing. And without those, how do you charge $70 to $120 for people come into the park just for less people in the park? But there are already less people in the park during the day. It is a little surprising they didn't do some kind of modified event that was maybe less expensive, didn't have the parties, but still had that Christmas atmosphere.
I agree. Well, with that, we'll lead into the hours for Magic Kingdom, because Magic Kingdom, as we know, they have recently reduced their hours. They were 9 to 7. Now they are 9 to 6 as of this past week. Starting November 6th, they will be increased back to 9 to 7. This is likely in effect for the new modified holiday offering starting in November. So that's good. Obviously, it's happening right after the time change. So it's going to be getting darker earlier. That was the first thing I thought of when I saw the changes, and they're going to have these projections on the cats. And I'm like, but if the park closes at 6, no one's going to see them.
Yeah.
So obviously they're keeping the hours back up to 7 starting November 6th. And I think that's wonderful.
And that's good to hear. Also, maybe they're expecting a little bigger crowds coming as well by extending the hours. That means they're expecting the holidays to be a little bit of a recovery. So that would be good.
So in addition to the extended hours at Magic Kingdom, Epcot will be shifting to new hours starting November 27th. And these changes are now reflected on the Walt Disney World Park Hours calendar. And the new park hours will be from 12 to 8. So this is not an extension of park hours. The hours have been recently 11 to 7. So they're just shifting the hours from 12 to 8. I think this is great for me personally. We arrive on November 28th. So this just hits right in time for our trip and will allow us to have dinner at Epcot on the days that are our Epcot days. But what do you think about that? Because I know you are going, well, you're going in.
We're going in October, and potentially we're going to be there in December as well. That okay. one is really going to depend on if the quarantine, the return quarantine is lifted. If it is not, we won't be going then. But that's starting on November 27th, I think, which is right after Thanksgiving.
That's Black Friday.
Yeah. It's good that Epcot's going to be open later. One of the things that kind of bums me out about our October trip is that none of the parks are open after 7. Even without hopping, it would be nice at least to have a little bit later time in the right. parks. So it's good to see that. I still really wish they would do something to allow hopping to Epcot, yes. even at the holidays too, especially now if you're looking at, say, Animal Kingdom closing at 5 and Epcot's open till 8. As long as it stayed below capacity, do something where if you have a dining reservation, you can hop into Epcot or something like that, just to keep people in the parks more. I don't completely get why they're not finding a way to do that. Maybe they still will. It's a few months off.
I'm really hopeful with this shift in park hours. And let's note that right now, park hours are only available until November 28th. Nothing past November 28th is on the website. So we still don't know what December is going to look like. We arrive on November 28th, so we're anxiously waiting for everything. But this is definitely making me feel better about our trip, that we'll have some more options. We finally got into Boardwalk Villas. We've been trying for 4 years to get a one-bedroom standard at Boardwalk Villas for this trip, and we finally get it. And our plan was that we would probably have dinner at Epcot almost every night, because there's so many restaurants at Epcot that we haven't tried, and we tend to always go to our tried and true restaurants. So this was going to be our opportunity to just be able to walk over to Epcot and have dinner at a different place every night.
Yeah.
And without park hopping, that's taken out, and Disney's just losing money from us, because we're probably either going to go to Swan and Dolphin for dinner or eat in our room. And I'm sure there's other people like us. Disney, if you're listening, I'll just allow park hopping to Epcot, please.
Yeah, just at least in the evenings. Again, you can.
I think after 5. I think between 5 and 8.
Yeah.
Allow it to for capacity, because if people who have gone there for the day probably have left. I hope that they're trying to figure it out on how they can do that.
Well, and that park's been staying well under capacity too. That's the last park to run out of space or bookings. Why not let people spend a little more money? Come on, you're Disney. You want our money. Come on.
I know. I have money to burn, so trust me. We will also note is that hours have been added for Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom up until November 28th, and they have remained the same. So there's no special holiday offerings at this point that we know of for Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom. So they are staying at Hollywood Studios is 10 to 7, and then Animal Kingdom is 9 to 5. We will say that at Disney's Hollywood Studios, Hollywood and Vine will be having a Christmas theme Yuletide gathering with Minnie Mouse and Santa Goofy. So that socially distant character dining, which I think Disney is doing really well. We went to the one at Topolino's. I was very pleased with it. We also like Hollywood and Vine. I know a lot of people don't like it. My family likes it. So that might be something we add to our holiday schedule. But that's really the only thing that I know of at Hollywood Studios for the holidays at this point.
In the past few years, they've had the projection show on Sunset Boulevard, and that has not been mentioned at all. So right. We don't know if that's going to be done or not.
Because that's always continuous, and that doesn't really gather a lot of crowds.
Yeah, you'd think they could do it, but it's hard to say if they're going to. They are open till 7. There will be a couple hours of darkness there around the holidays. It gets dark close to 5:30, right?
And I'm still hoping they extend those hours. I think that park needs to be open to 10 to 8. We were there when it was 10 to 8, and it was perfect because it... being close by, it allowed us to take a break in the middle of the day and make it a full day park. So we were able to take a short break and go back and have dinner there. And it was fantastic. So I hope that they extend it for December to 8 o'clock.
One other piece of news, they are expanding some of the offerings in there. If you go to get Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, the Droid Depot was already open, but beginning September 20th, the Gatherers will invite you into this mysterious shop in Black Spire Outpost to train you in the ways of constructing a lightsaber. So in other words, starting on September 20th, Savvy's Workshop is going to reopen for people that want to pay to build a lightsaber. It's going to be a slightly adjusted experience, which they don't detail out, but they do mention, for instance, capacity will be reduced to allow for physical distancing between the guests in accordance with the park's guidelines. during its phased reopening. Yeah, my daughter was talking about doing it at one point, and she's past the point. We were going to try and do it last time we were there, but we hadn't made a reservation, and the line was really long, so we didn't. We had a reservation in May, and that trip was canceled. We might try for December. Maybe I'll make the reservation and then cancel it if I have to, because I'm guessing it's going to be still going to be a hard get.
And especially if the capacity is reduced. So we will note that advanced reservations, which are highly recommended, will open on September 16th via DisneyWorld.com or the My Disney Experience app. So all of that information can be found. We got all of that from the Disney Parks blog. So we have some information and links in our show notes. So if you want to take a look and the full articles, go to Disney Parks blog or to our show notes, and all of that information is there. Our next news story we found on WDW News Today, and they have some great pictures of the new Grand Floridian walkway. And we've been talking about this on several episodes, but we know Grand Floridian is set to reopen on September 21st. I believe the NBA has left that resort, and now they're just removing the fence and getting it ready for guests, but that is set to open on Monday, September 21st. And they have some great pictures of the walkway. It has been near completion for some time now. It's been a while since we've seen the bridge in position across the water. But if you look at those pictures, it is there in place. The swing arm bridge can move to accommodate boats entering and leaving Seven Seas Lagoon. Gates on either side of the bridge will be closed when the bridge needs to move. The Magic Kingdom side of the bridge is mostly complete. On the Grand Floridian side of the bridge, lampposts still need to be installed, but the bases are in place. The construction area remains to be cleaned up, but grass has been planted in some areas, which is a good sign. And as we stated, Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa is set to reopen on September 21st, so it's possible the walkway will be opening at the same time or shortly thereafter. So this is exciting. I have a question for you, though. So, Pete, if you're staying at Grand Floridian, do you take the monorail? Do you take the little boat, or do you walk?
Is it now during this time period, or is this normal?
Is it during the heat of summer, or is it during the heat of winter?
Right, or is it during the heat of summer? I think it's probably a 50-50 for me. I think I would use it some of the time. I think it's great that it's there, though, because it really isn't that far a distance. It's probably no further than Boardwalk to Hollywood Studios. So I think it's great that option is there. I could see going in the morning instead of having to wait with the crowds for the monorail, just taking that walk over there. I'd probably be less likely to do it during the heat of the day or when I'm all tired out, but I think it's great. So if you think about it, that canal is mostly used for storage of the electric water pageant floats. So it's typically only really need to be opened in the evenings. And right now with electric water pageant not even running, it should be able to be there full time. So people can use it to walk back at the end of an evening without any problems.
I agree. If you're at maybe the villas, it's a farther walk than if you're at maybe one of the other outer buildings of Grand Floridian. But I'm one, sometimes I don't want to go, especially with the monorail, where Grand Floridian would be the last stop from Magic Kingdom. So if the boat's not there, I would probably just walk, definitely walking home.
That's a good point. Walking home, you're not having to circle the whole loop to get to the Grand Floridian. And again, right now, they're probably not putting a lot of people on there. So there may be quite a bit of a wait at the end of the evening to get back on the monorail and being able to walk. That's, as I said, I think it's great. I think having the option to walk anytime is always a good thing.
Yeah, I think having the option is just another mode of transportation, especially with the social distancing on the monorail. And I don't know if the boats are running, but if they are or when they are running, they will also be socially distanced. Walking, you can always walk. You can always just get on your feet and walk. So that was all Walt Disney World type news, but now we have some specific DVC news. So I will let you cover this, Pete.
Okay, well, the first thing I want to mention is our friends over at the DVC Resale Market posted this on their news blog, and they mentioned that another DVC resort has decided to perform renovations. And this time it makes sense, given the hotel occupancy at this resort is lower, both due to the pandemic and due to the time of year. We're talking about Disney's Vero Beach Resort. They will be shutting many of the amenities down at some point in late September. The hotel has not listed the exact date yet, but Disney has indicated that renovations will take a couple of months. So during this time, the hotel pool, the hot tub, the pool bathrooms, the miniature golf course, and the play area won't be available to guests. Virtually all of the other hotel activities are unaffected, and you can still use the beach as well. But that pool area and a lot of the amenities around it are not going to be available for a pretty major renovation that's going to go on for a few months. So I have not been to Vero Beach. I really want to get out there at some point, but I'm not sure that I would go when the pool is shut down. But right now, they're probably not getting a lot of guests anyways, so now's the time to do it.
I agree. If occupancy is low, why not? With the pool, I have been to Vero. It's great. But all we did was the pool.
Yeah.
We were there, I think, for 3 nights, 2018, and it was great. But we used the pool, and it was a staycation, and because there's no parks to tempt you to go into, there really isn't much to do. We did go to the beach for about 10 minutes, but the Atlantic side of Florida is very rough. If you're not a very good swimmer, or we had a little one, it's not something that I would spend much time on the beach. So yeah, if you have a trip to Vero Beach planned and this renovation is going to be taking part, I would rethink your plans and just reevaluate. Is this something that if you still want to go, if the pool, and looks like it will be, it's closed.
Yeah. Cause it's not the Disney resorts where if the main pool is closed, there's usually another pool there at least that you can use. Here, there's just the one pool, correct?
There's just the one pool. So
yeah, it's a fairly isolated area from everything I understand.
It is. So, yeah, if you're going to Vero Beach and you're not a necessary beach person, I'm not a beach person anyway. I don't like sand. The only sand I like is probably the sand bottom pool at Beach Club. I don't really like to go to the beach. Just sand ends up in places where sand should not end up. But I am more of a pool person any day of the week. But if you are a beach person, then, you know, absolutely go. There'll probably be a lot of availability. But again, if you are planning on a trip to Vero Beach and you were not aware of this refurbishment, definitely take a look and just rethink if now's the time to go.
So the last piece of news we have is also DVC related, and it comes from the folks over at DVC News. They have monthly posts where they talk about the direct sales, and I wouldn't necessarily talk about this every time, but in this particular case where we've had 4 months of complete closure and we're finally getting back to the point that they're having sales again. So what they mention is that in June, we saw only about 9,500 points of sales. July saw 13,700 points. And August saw 86,956 points from 11 different DVC resorts at Walt Disney World. So if you think about that, more points were sold in August 2020 that were sold in the 4 months from April to July combined. So that's a pretty good rebound. Normal monthly point sales run 100,000 to 125, maybe a good month might see 140,000, 150,000. So it's still a very low number, but it's at least back in a more normal range. I'm sure good for Disney, but it's still well below historical numbers. So one thing they mentioned is the fewest number of points sold in a single month was December 2015, when 93,000 points were sold. So it's still the lowest monthly total for a normal time, but still not that far off. It'll be interesting to see if it continues to rebound. As I dug in a little closer to the data, though, the one interesting thing to see was that of those 87,000 points, only about 45,000 points were sold from Riviera Resort. So that's just a little more than half of the points came from Riviera. That's a really low percentage for a new resort. Normally, the new resorts, a normal range is 75 to 85% from the new resorts. Riviera had been running, last year was even running lower than what you would expect from a new resort. It was running closer to 70%. After the resort opened, it came back up more into that 80% range, but we never got to see if it was going to stay there because it dropped off immediately. So 44,000. Second place is Copper Creek with 16,000 points. A third, the number of sales from Copper Creek, a resort that's been sold out and I believe is selling for a lot higher point price than Riviera. Even Old Key West selling 8,000 points, which is 20% of what Riviera sold. So it's strange to see this. We'll have to see if these trends continue, but I'm sure Disney is not thrilled that Riviera is only selling 44,000 points out of 87,000. But we'll see what happens going forward.
And this is what we're hearing from Disney and from people that are going to DVC, is that the traditional going to the Welcome Center and taking the tour, that's not happening right now. They are actually taking you on tours of rooms at the current DVC resort. So I think DVC might be shifting their model here on how they sell. We started seeing buybacks happening again. And if you look at, you have Copper Creek, which is technically sold out, but we do know that they still have a couple. So that's 16,000. Old Key West and Saratoga, those are the two that are being bought back the most, are the next two highest that are still being sold. So I think DVC might be changing their model here and getting into the resale market here. I don't know.
It's been a question for years. Disney can make money from the resale market. They don't make as much money as they do with a new resort, because with a new resort, it maybe costs them $30, $40 per point to build it, and then they're selling it for $195 or whatever. As I said, the big deal to me is that you're selling Riviera, the price point, $195, but if you buy 200 points, there's a pretty good discount on that. Yet people are still choosing to go with Copper Creek or Old Key West. You actually are paying almost as much for Old Key West, even with the extended end date, as you are for Riviera. So it's funny that to see so many people going for other resorts, but we'll see if the trend continues.
My longstanding thing with Riviera is not so much the resale restrictions. I know everyone talks about the resale restrictions, but for us, it has been the point charts. Yep. It is so expensive to stay there.
Yep, I totally agree. That's my feeling too. I'm in no rush to stay there, because why would I stay there? You just mentioned you were able to get a Boardwalk standard room. You probably paid less or comparable for that room as you would have paid for a studio at Riviera.
For a one bedroom, if you compared a standard one bedroom to a standard at Boardwalk, it was, I think, almost double to stay at Riviera. Obviously, the standard at Boardwalk are some of the cheapest rooms on property, but I think we were considering Riviera, and having stayed there, we loved Riviera. We liked it so much more than we thought we would, but it's not the resale restrictions, because we are one of those that we don't plan on reselling. Obviously, life happens, but it's not the resale restrictions that are holding us back. It's the point charts. It's so expensive point-wise to stay there. I would much rather stay at Old Key West or Saratoga for the points, because DVC members tend to be point frugal.
Yes, I wonder if that's hurting them too, because I know they were trying to make a luxury resort on par with the Grand Floridian, and Riviera is a beautiful resort, but I'm not quite sure it's that. I think it's more on par with Beach Club and Boardwalk, and costing a 50% point premium. Maybe there's some people that are looking at going, and maybe I'd rather just have Bay Lake Tower or something like that.
I think if you're going to have that flagship resort, what everybody looks at is the lobby. You walk in and you see this grand lobby. And I think that is what really hurts Riviera, is not having a grand lobby makes it feel less grand. And I think between the resale restrictions and the point cost, that's the perfect storm.
Yeah, and it is. You do walk in there and you go, it's nice. It's a nice lobby, but there's many Four Seasons that have nicer lobbies than that.
Yeah, it's interesting. We love the resort, but we were fortunate enough to stay there on some discounted points right after it reopened on June 22nd. We stayed there for two nights. But even those two nights in a standard studio were 44 points.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of points. Yep. And that's a standard studio. It was great to be there, but with that, I don't think we would buy in.
Yeah. The last thing we wanted to mention, and this is not a new news article or anything like that, but the continuing rumor of, are the minimum buy points going to go up? There was a lot of word around about a month ago that a lot of DVC sales associates were mentioning that the minimum points for the blue card were going to go from 100 to 125. And that date that was rumored for was September 18th. And we're recording this on September 13th. And it seems like the rumors died down a bit. I haven't really heard it mentioned. I asked Chad and he said he has not heard anything either. So I would still call that a rumor, not a fact. And so if anybody is considering having to pick up that 100-point contract, you may still want to wait. It would be pretty surprising. I suppose they could do it, but they've never in the past raised that point thing without any notice. And typically it's 10 to 14 days they give notice on for that type of change. It'll be interesting to see if we hear anything this week. But as of September 13th, we have not heard anything official about them raising the minimum points for the blue card.
And I am hoping that they just leaked that information to get a feel of what the community thought and then decided, yeah, probably not the best idea. That's just me hoping. We will see. Time will tell. We'll know on Friday.
It seems like really bad timing to choose to do that, but
we'll see. I agree. So, well, with that as our episode for episode 9, we are almost into double digits. Definitely, if you like this show, leave us a comment on iTunes and a review. And definitely send us an email. You can find us both on mydvcpoints.com. And with that, that's an episode. So we will see you real soon, everyone.
Take care and stay magical, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.